We'll be joined by ESPN's Anish Shroff, how he thinks BYU has grown the most since the SMU game, which he called, and who's starting at quarterback for the Cowboys?
Star wide receiver from BYU's 1984 National Championship team, Glenn Kozlowski, is this week's Big 12 Pick'em guest picker. And we'll recap the wild comeback after multiple delays last night from BYU women's soccer against Baylor.
Rally in bad weather. It's all they do, Jerem. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation.
Wow!
Presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. From the Studio Lavelle, a happy Friday indeed. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who always appreciates a game day show in the stadium, Jerem Jordan.
I love being in the stadium. I don't care what the weather's like. It is cold here. We can see our breath. These guys are going to be playing in this tonight. Rainy and wet. Hopefully the weather kind of clears out. Huge storms. Like, most lightning strikes I've ever seen in, like, a 20-minute span in my life last night.
Why there were two delays at the soccer game.
Right? Crazy. But, you need a good, tough defense and to take care of the ball, and that's what BYU's done to be successful in 6-0. So, always great to be here. They did not cover the field, is my understanding, but the drainage system's amazing. I know some people have tweeted at me asking about that. Field is all green, ready to harvest, and BYU hoping to get a win tonight. Looks amazing. Like, pristine conditions, the blue pops. Like, I'm so excited to watch this game tonight.
The snow-capped mountains, clouds lingering there at the top of the Wasatch Mountain Range. Are you kidding me?
The misty mountains out here. Gimli going to come walking out any second.
I ran into a group of Oklahoma State fans while I was driving the Alpine Loop with my family yesterday, like 15 of them, and they just could not get over the mountain terrain in general.
Welcome.
And yes. Yep. I told them to stick around. They said, hey, so what's the deal tomorrow? And I'm like, just make sure you're there in between the third and fourth quarters because you'll see the fire dancers. And they're like, we want to see Cosmo. And I'm like, that is his prime moment.
You will see Cosmo.
And you'll get free ice cream too. And so some dude's like, oh, man, so you're telling me for down 20 I have to stay until at least the third quarter?
You came all this way. Might as well.
Outstanding. Hey. Like we said, vibes are good. We're in the stadium. Friday Night Lights at LES. Rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
We remember last late November. We remember that. So we're coming out ready this week because we know we own one.
This is a dangerous game for BYU.
There's reasons to be motivated.
I'm sitting at 6-0.
You have a chance to beat everybody on their schedule.
Those are some big words from ESPN's Trevor Maddich. A chance to beat everyone on the schedule, Jerem. Well, time to go 7-0 and take care of business against an Oklahoma State team that is in desperate times for sure. So, yesterday it was reported that Ashton Slaughter of the Ocali, that Garrett Rangel is expected to start at quarterback. He's the backup for the Cowboys, and we are discussing all of the things that matter and don't. So, naturally, we start with quarterbacks. Does it matter that the season starter, Alan Bowman, is not the guy, and now it's Garrett Rangel?
Yes, it does, because certainly it's a different look. Oklahoma State is searching for answers on offense, and they are going to make a change at quarterback. Nobody in Cowboy Nation there is happy with what's happened this year. They were supposed to be a Big 12 contender. They are not as of now. They did start slow last year and then race to the Big 12 title game at the end, certainly beating BYU at the end and a tiebreaker to get Oklahoma out and play Texas in that Big 12 title game helped. But this dude is a 51% passer. He's played 12 games over three seasons. This year, one touchdown, no picks, 109 rating. He's just been kind of meh. Hasn't played a ton. Came in that Utah game, then got pulled. But there is PTSD for BYU fans against backup quarterbacks.
100%.
As we know. And you're probably looking at backup quarterbacks the next 2 weeks after this as well. Ja'Kari Brown at UCF and then Isaac Wilson, we know, there will be a backup. Cam Rising out for the year with Utah. So I'm interested to see what Rangel can do. There was also a report this morning from a radio station near Stillwater that the backup, Zane Flores, who hasn't played yet, redshirt freshman, that he did not even make the trip. None of this has been confirmed quite yet. But the quarterback situation pretty murky right now with Oklahoma State.
Has BYU faced backup quarterbacks this season? Kind of, right? Kevin Jennings was the backup of sorts for SMU.
Yeah.
And they seem to handle that just fine. Granted, he's playing a lot better for SMU, which is good for BYU. But BYU's faced a backup quarterback. And then Baylor also had their backup quarterback in play, so yeah. BYU also traversed that.
Don't give me facts. Give me perceived history here.
I know that, as you brought up, there is some PTSD, and it's probably from Josh Hoover and TCU last year.
Honestly, it goes back to the late 2000s, dude. It
and
really
Brett
does.
Ratliff in 2005
yes.
with
yes.
the University of Utah.
I don't want to talk about that one. You brought up the one that I hate the most. He ended up making it in the NFL a little bit with the Browns, which is wild.
He was a good player, unfortunately for BYU.
Yeah.
Now, the backup quarterback thing is hyperbolized, if that's a word.
Sure.
We pay it a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And what I am saying is BYU has faced it already this season multiple times, and they've handled it. I think that they can handle it again. So I'm not as bought in on the jinx or the PTSD side of a backup quarterback all of a sudden playing like an All-American against BYU. I love that tweet. You know, as soon as the backup starts to have a good, like, classic All-American,
why are they an All-American?
All-American performance against BYU. It always happens.
I love superlatives always / never work. Does that make sense? Like, come on. Okay, next one. Next one. Ollie Gordon II. He struggled this year. Less than 80 yards against the in each of the five games against FBS teams. This guy was unstoppable last year. Ran for five touchdowns against BYU.
I remember.
Does this matter that he has struggled this year?
How does it not? Yes, this is the storyline for Oklahoma State as they come into the game.
Not quarterback?
I don't think it's quarterback. I think it's more about, well, if we're looking at season resume, that to me is the story. Because they've had, at times, some good quarterback play from Alan Bowman. The run game, outside of playing a bad team way early in the season, has been practically non-existent, which is super weird. This is the Doak Walker Award winner.
They have, what, 4 sixth-year guys on the line or something?
Yes, they brought back 20 starters total on their all five back on the offensive line.
No one can explain why they're not good in the run game. No one knows.
Jerem, this is the story of the season for Oklahoma State. I know we pay a lot of attention to the quarterbacks. You should. But Ollie Gordon, with how good he is and how good the offensive line was supposed to be for Oklahoma State, the fact that they can't seemingly get things going, BYU, why would you not stack the box?
These are some of the rare highlights from this year.
Seriously. And just dare Rangel and that passing attack to try and handle BYU in what could be weird weather. It's certainly going to be cold.
Could be.
Will it rain? I don't know if it's going to rain or not. It might.
It's just going to be – hopefully, it's not all going to dry up here. Right?
It'll be slippery
a little
for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is the time to have Garrett Rangel try and beat you with his arm. Stack the box.
You're going to hand it to the new guy?
Stack the box.
Yeah, we'll see what Jay Hill has dialed up. I'm going to say it doesn't matter. Here's why. Because I'm expecting Doak Walker Award winner, Heisman Trophy candidate, Ollie Gordon II tonight.
To do his
thing. I'm not expecting him to run rampant. I'm expecting that BYU needs to expect that.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Like, they play defense in a way where they're like,
we've ignored
these stats. We remember the guy last year that ran roughshod over us. PFF grade 97th in run blocking, by the way, for the O-line. Just terrible.
Why, after 6 games, will they all of a sudden change?
I don't think they will, but mentally I'm going in thinking, ignoring those numbers.
BYU has to prepare.
That's how they have to prepare. But, yeah, I'm with you of like, no. Like, he struggled. You can do that too. You can contain him. He has shown he can be.
Yes, but you're right. That's how BYU has to prepare for the Doak Walker Award winner.
They're expecting.
Expect him to be that guy that's going to run for 150 and multiple touchdowns.
Yes. I still don't think that means they win, though. Because number one pass defense efficiency in the country.
BYU's got that going for him as well.
Now, if they run for 250, you're asking for it.
Yeah. We have documented ad nauseum this week how good BYU's defense has been this season. But these stats we are about to present are absolutely wild. Listen to this. And this is courtesy of Greg Rebell's stats intern, Tyler Mattingly, who says,
"Nice work, Tyler.
These are BYU's opponents' drives, how they end against the BYU defense this season. 18% of the total drives in 6 games have ended in turnovers, 17% turnover on downs. You're telling me a third of the total drives all season against BYU's defense have either been a turnover or a turnover on downs?
Amazing.
And those numbers are higher than touchdowns given up and field goals surrendered. That is, wow. I mean, how do you not look at that and say, okay, this that might matter a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'll ask you the question anyway, Jerem. Does it matter that BYU has done that through six games?
Yeah, it matters. Those are crazy numbers. BYU's only given up 10 touchdowns all year, period, by the way. Just BYU's defense has been great. You're playing an Oklahoma State team that's trying to jumpstart it, and they're trying to figure it out. And is tonight the night? We certainly hope not. If this is a tough kind of run game in the trenches, BYU's ready for that. If it's a you got to chuck it down the field, guess what? BYU's the top-ranked pass efficiency defense team in the country. The secondary has been outstanding. I'm excited no matter what. This BYU defense is ready for any challenge right now.
Woo! Yes, it matters. 52 points off of turnovers for BYU. 52 points. There are teams in the country that I don't know have scored that many more total points.
That'd be pretty bad in five, six games. Yeah.
Okay.
And then three allowed off turnovers.
I know. It's been remarkable, to say the least, for BYU. So not only are they getting turnovers and turnovers on downs, they're taking those opportunities and turning them into points.
Let's go. Just don't be minus two in margin tonight and let Oklahoma State in.
That's how they believe. That's how you get a team that's struggling to believe.
You don't have to be plus two. Just don't be minus two.
But then one.
Yeah. Jake Kretzloff has been especially good at home this year. Let's take a look at some of the numbers. 64% passing, 235 a game. Not a monster number, but it's good. Seven touchdowns, no picks.
Amazing.
8.5 yards per attempt. You want to be 8+, right? The higher, the better, but 8.5, decent. Good. Does this matter?
Yes, this matters. It matters that Jake has been consistent, especially over the last three games in Big 12 play for BYU. He does not get enough credit. I think BYU fans in large are finally starting to turn the corner on Jake and realize, like, hey, he's pretty good.
And I hope they don't turn on him the moment
he's a good leader.
Two give
up. Oh, see, this is the – yeah, when the swashbuckler, if he returns.
If that happens, yeah.
But, again, why? Over the last three games, what has he done to make people think, like, all of a sudden he's just going to forget everything he's learned and start to play the game differently?
Well, stuff happens. The plays are made.
Yes.
Ball gets slippery if it's wet.
You can forgive. It's the I'm being tackled 10 yards behind the line, and I'm just going to kind of throw it up and hope that something good happens, and then it's intercepted.
The SMU plays.
Yes.
There were two plays against SMU where it's like, hey, on the run, hold on to that ball. I know that the motion man, and the timing with Connor Pay was off, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
And then don't try and chuck it away, like you said, when you're being sacked. Just eat it. He has he's thrown the ball out of bounds. He's taken some sacks. I actually celebrate sacks in a different way now because of that, where I'm like, hey, nice work.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Roderick talked about that the next week after Kansas State. He's like, we got a field goal out of it. That was good. I like that.
Yeah, this matters because Jake, one, has not just been good at home, but he's been good in a couple of road games as well.
Yeah, I would say, yes, it matters. He's playing great, period.
And I don't know. You tell me, does confidence matter?
By the way, the total yards for BYU is not like, ripping people up with, whoa, oh, my gosh, this is amazing.
They
have short
it.
Fields. They have special teams touchdowns. They have defensive touchdowns. I'm not worried that much about it. BYU had a 99-yard drive on Saturday.
I gave Tanner Wall credit for that. I was like, hey, thank you for going out at the half-yard line so that the offense could put together some numbers against Arizona.
99's pretty good. It's literally the farthest you can go.
99 and a half, Jerem.
You can't go 100, so that's the longest possible drive.
BYU's a 9.5-point favorite tonight against Oklahoma State. So just maybe people are starting to notice what BYU is doing and how they have been destroying the spread, which brings us to our stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
Feast on this. Tonight's 9.5-point favorite line for BYU is the largest margin that BYU has been favored by against a Power 4 team since being a 13.5-point favorite against Arizona in Las Vegas in 2021.
Wow.
It's been more than 3 years since BYU has been in this position. And that was an Arizona program that had just hired a new coach who now fittingly is at Washington. And that was a tough Arizona team, or a tough scenario for Arizona. BYU is clearly the better team. It doesn't happen often this way. But does it actually matter that BYU is a 9.5-point favorite?
I think it is because BYU's found motivations and reasons to be riled up about something. What is it this week? It can't be the line because you're a 9-point favorite. Or what are you going to say? They still don't believe in us? It should have been 12? I don't think you can.
Should have been 20.
Fly that banner, right? I think it does. Can BYU win? They're 6-0 against the spread this year, so they haven't just won. They've won more than was thought, right? So, yeah, I think this is interesting. Like, what are you going to use if you're BYU, like we talked about yesterday, for motivation? You can't use the spread now.
So I thought about this one specifically for quite a while on my drive in today. Does this really
You have quite
matter?
A while to think about it, too.
I do. It's a long drive. It's a long drive sometimes. But does it really matter? And yes, the mental edge we discussed yesterday, BYU needs to manufacture it this week around, which is why we're saying, hey, go back to what happened in Stillwater last year.
Yeah.
When they destroyed your bowl dreams.
And you blew an 18-point lead. That was really disappointing.
Really bad.
Yeah.
So the edge is there. But this whole favorite thing for BYU, I was a little worried about it against Arizona last week when BYU, for the first time in what felt like forever, was a favorite. Well, it didn't seem to bother them. So I'm kind of viewing this one as, I don't think they really care. And frankly, if BYU won by 4 or 5 and...
Let's say they win by 8 and they don't cover. It doesn't matter.
Does anyone care as long as BYU figures out a way to get to 7-0 at this point?
I want a 1-point-plus win. 1-plus. I'll take
So like, you want a win.
This is Power 4 football.
Come on, like, just win the game.
You're not playing New Mexico and Wyoming in the WAC. Like, you're playing quality teams that have 4- and 5-star guys. NFL guys.
Yes.
Come on.
It's fun that BYU has crushed the expectations in all 6 games with these lines, and if they're a favorite or an underdog, they've destroyed them. So it would be fun to see it happen again, but outside of that, I don't think it really matters to the team.
Margin of victory is 18 right now. Are we getting a little spoiled?
Yeah.
It's not. No, winning is hard, man.
Win by one.
Winning
7-0.
Okay, so far this season, pretty pristine conditions for the weather, as we've chronicled, and you can see behind us. Not ideal. Expected kickoff temperature of 45, which actually feels warm compared to what we're feeling out here right now. Does this matter, the weather tonight?
This matters. I asked Keelan Marion about it earlier this week, and he quickly brought up the Iowa State scenario last year. Mm-hmm. And he was like, we were slipping all over the place. It was not good. So we have the right cleats prepared this year. The field was obviously torn up last year, and they have put in all brand new turf, which the players have said has made a massive difference. Mm. So, yes, it does matter, but they're prepared for it. And I was I don't know what Iowa State was doing last year. They had a decent football team, and they had some good running backs.
Good team, yeah.
But the cleat scenario, it just got so much attention. Oh, why is BYU slipping all over the field? They have assured me that they have taken care of that matter and that they have prepared the right way with the right equipment, and they have said that the field is way better this year, can accommodate rainy weather and slippery conditions much better.
How does this not matter?
Yeah, it
matters.
It
absolutely matters. If it's too slippery and wet, it changes how play calling is made. So we'll see if it slows things down or evens it out in any way. I don't know. I'm excited for this matchup tonight, regardless of what the weather's like. I think BYU's prepared and has the veteran leadership and skill and motivation in any condition right now.
You would think that with Oklahoma State's inability to run the ball and the necessity in conditions like this to probably lean on the run in physical football, that this is an advantage for BYU.
You just hope that no one slips and there's a busted coverage.
And someone breaks through.
An easy touchdown of some kind in the run or pass game, but we'll see.
All right, BYU 0-3 all time against Oklahoma State. 0-3, couple of bowl game losses in the 70s, 74 and 76 to be specific, and then last year's absolute gut punch in Stillwater.
Yep.
Because they're 0-3, including that double overtime loss, does it matter that that record is still pristine for Oklahoma State against BYU?
74 and 76, no. But last year, yes. The many guys on this team were part of that group that lost at Oklahoma State. Will we see Tyler Batty on a fake punt just like cleat a guy like last year? that was funny and weird. And BYU is 0-3 against said Cowboys. They're looking for the first win ever. But if you want, hey, do it for the 74 guys. Do it for the 76 guys that didn't get that win. The Gary Scheides and the Gifford Nielsens and so on.
Hey, listen,
I wish that
BYU were 3-0, as we just saw on the screen.
I think what we're doing is manifesting.
Absolutely.
Kalani Sitake in the cut said,
Speaking it into truth.
We're speaking it into truth. The next three, BYU will be 3-0. So, yes, 0-3, no, but last year's yes.
Absolutely. That's the mental edge. That is the mental edge that BYU's been hanging on to for tonight.
And let's hang on undefeated. Let's hang on to college football playoff hopes, which if you lose, you still have them. You just have to win out.
All right.
But don't lose this game at home. You can't lose this one at home, though.
Hey, for what it's worth, BYU's got a great record when they're the number 13 team in the country. They're 13-4.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
Super random.
13-4. Thank you, Cougar Stats, for that.
Yeah. That's a fun one. That's great.
Our question of the day. Do you feel more confident or concerned about tonight's game against Oklahoma State?
I want to hear from the concerned people because I would assume that there's a lot of confidence given how BYU is playing so far and the struggles of Oklahoma State. But what would be the concern? Like,
sure,
letting up, like not handling success well, the conditions? Like, what are we thinking?
I said earlier this week, this feels like a trap game. And somebody retorted, well, what, because they're overlooking Oklahoma State for UCF? I'm like, no, not the overlook matter for the next game. What I'm saying is Oklahoma State's off a bye. They are not playing good football. They have really struggled. BYU's a heavy favorite. All of those things can sometimes create this level of confidence, and maybe that hinders a team. But I don't think that this team has a lack of maturity or of the ability to be responsible in their assignments and to just handle the hype, because they've done it multiple occasions.
Got to keep it going.
But it still feels a little bit to me like a trap scenario. So are you concerned about that? At Woo Coug on X answers, nervous for two reasons, playing a different quarterback. Here you go. Garrett Rangel. And Gundy's record off bye weeks.
He's been pretty good. Yeah.
He has this knack of figuring it out. He continues, confident for two reasons. The team is playing great, holistic football, and it's a night game in Provo.
Night game in Provo, man.
Night Cougs are back.
Hey, let's go. Tonight, 8 Eastern time, we got your pregame on BYU TV and BYU Radio. It's going to be awesome. The game's on ESPN at 10:15 and BYU Radio postgame back on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Going to be a fun night. Let's go.
Up next, the man on the call for tonight's game, ESPN's Anish Shroff, play-by-play extraordinaire, joins us to preview tonight's Friday night Big 12 matchup. What does he expect from the Cowboys offense against this incredible BYU defense thus far? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Welcome back inside Lavelle Edwards Stadium. The Cougs are bowl eligible.
And the expectations for the fans are a great sign that this team is giving them reasons to believe.
Fans are still coming with their noise and their support, so we ready to roll.
We too are ready to roll live in the studio Lavelle with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jerem Jordan. Joining us now is the man who will call the game for ESPN. He is the wonderful Anish Shroff, who knows a thing or two about Oklahoma State BYU. He was on the call last year for the Cougars and Cowboys. He's back again. Anish, how are you today?
I'm doing well, and that game last year was wild. Double overtime. Probably the first sign, I think, for Kalani Sitake that 2024 – had a chance to be a much better team. I'm not sure we expected 6-0, top 15, but that was a team that was healthier at the end of the season. They really pushed around Oklahoma State, and that game was theirs for the taking. And remember, that was an Oklahoma State team that, with that win in the regular season finale a year ago, they end up playing in the Big 12 championship.
It was wild because the week before, BYU nearly beat Oklahoma. They probably shouldn't have beat Oklahoma State. So, yeah, there was like this sign of like, hey, things are looking up. We dialed up the best weather we could find. This was all that was available. But it's not the worst weather you've called for a BYU game. I believe you were on BYU Virginia in 2013. Is that correct? Where there was a lightning delay after the first quarter. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the season opener. And oh, boy, that game took forever to get on the air. Yeah. Now you're taking me back. Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry about that because no one should have to traverse that many bad weather games. But at least you had BYU and SMU, and that was nice. And Dallas, it was kind of a weird game, Anish, for sure. But BYU with that defense coming up big play after big play late in the game, they hang on and win against an SMU team that looks better and better by the week. So as you look back on that game and the BYU team that showed up in Dallas to the one you just prepared for as you call the game tonight, where have you seen the most growth from BYU?
Yeah, I think the one thing that jumped out in that SMU game, we had seen SMU the year before, and knowing with what they had offensively, the fact that BYU held them without a touchdown, held them to 5 field goals. The red zone defense was great. They had some timely takeaways. And then SMU in the 3 successive weeks scores 66 against TCU, 40-something against Florida State, and then 30-something. So they've been able to score 30-plus and 3 straight against power conference teams. BYU was able to keep them out of the end zone. The defense improved quite a bit. And I think one of the things that you've seen now with the pieces that they have. They're more aggressive. You know, I used to think of BYU defensively, it was rush 3, drop 8, rush 4, drop 7. If you want to score, they made you go 14, 15 plays down the field. Now they can dictate tempo a little bit. They can get after you. They'll blitz. They have some exotic blitz packages. It was the sort of style that Jay Hill played at Weber State. And, you know, he's got three of his guys starting on defense. They really like the corners, which allows you to put those guys on an island and be more aggressive up front. And I got to tell you, this linebacking crew with, you know, Glasker, who is a bona fide NFL guy. You know, I do play-by-play for the Carolina Panthers. And after the SMU game, I had a couple people coming up and saying, hey, that 17 on BYU, what'd you think of him?
Yeah.
You know, Jack Kelly is another one. I'm sorry, 16 on BYU. Jack Kelly's another one, and Taggart, and then you got Batty, you know, with his ability to rush the passer. They're really strong up front. They got really good corners. It allows Jay Hill to do a lot of different things defensively.
I'm glad you mixed up the elite linebackers for BYU, because that means good things, Anish.
That means
16 and 17 are both really good for BYU.
They're both really good. Yes, they're both really good. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Glasker looking like Kyle Van Noy last week. I mean, it was awesome. We had Fred Warner in the house last week on a bye week, so that was fun. He was seeing that too. Okay, so big stuff for Oklahoma State too. They were expected to contend for or win the Big 12 title. Not completely out of it. They need to make a heck of a run here to do so. But who's the quarterback going to be? And why is Ollie Gordon II looking like an average dude? He is anything but.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to the first part of your question, the quarterback play. If you look at what teams have done, they have stacked the box against Oklahoma State. Ollie Gordon last year led the nation in rushing, and he wasn't even Oklahoma State's primary ball carrier till their fourth game. He only had 19 attempts in the first three games. So
wild.
He basically did everything in conference play last year and still led the nation in rushing, won the Doak Walker Award, first-team All-American, Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year, all the platitudes, right? Well, this year teams have sold out against the run, and they've said, we're going to stop Ollie Gordon. With Alan Bowman at quarterback, he's not a mobile quarterback, right? So it's not like you got to bring a spy or an extra guy down just to watch the quarterback. So what's happening is teams are loading up against Ollie Gordon, and they're forcing Alan Bowman to make plays on the perimeter downfield, and he hasn't. You look at his numbers from non-conference to conference play, they've cratered. And it's surprising because this is a guy who's played a lot of football, seventh-year senior, started his career way back when at Texas Tech, put up at one point at Texas Tech. I mean, he had some of these Patrick Mahomes type of games. I'm doing the game with Andre Ware, the type of numbers that Andre used to put up with Houston in 89. So it's been a bit baffling. And it's not like they don't have pieces. They've had really good receivers. Brennan Presley, Dejon Stribling, Rashad Owens,
yes.
Talon Shetcher. They have an offensive line that returns a ton of experience, and yet they're getting moved around and pushed around. So we have not been told who will start at quarterback. It would not surprise me, though, if it was Garrett Rangel or maybe even the redshirt freshman Zane Flores, just because those guys also give you the element of mobility and quarterback run, which can open up different things in the offense. It also wouldn't stun me if it's Bowman, because I think there's a part of this which is, if you're Oklahoma State, you're going, all right, if all these quarterbacks play their best, Alan Bowman right now with his experience and his pedigree is probably the best option.
Fair point.
He's not playing well right now. So I think when you factor in, I wouldn't be surprised if you could see any of those three. If I'm betting, I would probably, you know, bet on Rangel or Bowman, and then the freshman Flores would probably be choice number three.
ESPN play-by-play extraordinaire Anish Shroff is with us on BYU Sports.
My favorite ESPN news anchor. I just want to throw that
clearly. Yeah, by the way, do you miss doing the desk stuff, or are you all in on the play-by-play thing, Anish?
It's a good question. I miss some of it, but you know, the way our industry has gone, and you know, the move to live events, there's just more of a kick you get from being at a game, feeling the crowd, feeling the noise. You know, there's times where I miss it, but I've really enjoyed this side of it, the play-by-play stuff.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's a good fit for you, clearly. Your life is very busy, but as you prepare for these games, you look at a number of stats. The one that's the craziest to me right now going into this game is that 35% of the drives that BYU's defense has faced this season have ended in turnovers or turnovers on downs. That is crazy. And they're taking opportunities from those turnovers and turning it into points. But as you look at the stats, what's the number that has your attention the most?
Yeah, it's Oklahoma State's run defense. They have not been able to stop the run at all. And in conference play, they're giving up more than 300 yards per game on the ground. They gave up 389 to West Virginia, who isn't going to confuse anybody to be some powerhouse rushing attack. It's a decent rushing attack, but not 389 yards on the ground good. And BYU, again, is getting healthier in the backfield. We saw Ropati come back last week. We saw L.J. Martin come back last week. Jake Retzlaff certainly brings that rushing element to the table. And at the end of the day, I mean, Oklahoma State is shorthanded on defense. You know, their top two players, Colin Oliver, the best edge rusher, is out. Nick Martin, their top linebacker, what, 140 tackles last year. He's out. They're probably going to be without Trey Rucker, who's third in the nation in tackles, tops in the Big 12. So they're missing some key pieces back there. It makes them vulnerable to the run. They're going to have to figure out how to stop BYU. And again, I look at, you know, this game, guys, BYU has been so good on defense. And really the part that nobody's talking about, so good on special teams.
Yeah.
If they get competent play from their offense and don't turn it over, they become incredibly hard to beat.
I wanted to ask you about that because some people kind of look at the BYU offense and go, well, I don't know. I have Iowa State as the number one team in the Big 12 because they're more balanced. It's like, well, 24% of BYU's drives start in the opponent's plus side of the field. So what do you make of the BYU offense and what they've been able to do this year?
I think Retzlaff continues to get better. Early in the year and even going back to last year, he had some real issues with ball security. If he doesn't turn it over, and again, just throws the ball away sometimes, you can rely on field position, special teams, your defense to put your offense in good spots. And I think as long as the offense is neutral and even above average, BYU has a great chance to win. If Retzlaff starts making throws into double and triple teams and, you know, starts being too much of a gambler out there, I think you can get in trouble. But really, I think sometimes game manager gets a bad rap. If he can just manage the game, manage field position, use his weapons with the other components they have, I don't think this offense needs to do a lot. Almost like, hey, just don't impede the progress the defense and the special teams have made. If you can just kind of hold the fort and, you know, take advantage of the short fields, hit a couple of plays here and there, they don't have to be great offensively to win. As long as they don't turn it over, I think they have a real shot to win pretty much every week.
SMU game case number one.
Indeed. Hey, Anish, I don't know if Andre Ware is going to try and drag you to Bam Bam's Barbecue for lunch in Provo, but
do it.
You should do it if he does take you there.
You know, it's funny. Brian Carlson, who I used to work with a long time ago, an anchor up in
Salt Lake City. Yeah.
We were just on a text thread, and he brought up Bam Bam's Barbecue as well. So I'm about to meet him out for lunch here shortly.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Anish, well, enjoy that lunch. We look forward to your call tonight, and we certainly appreciate the time and your busy schedule. Thanks so much.
You got it, guys. Take care. See you.
Anish Shroff on the call for ESPN tonight, Oklahoma State awesome. At BYU.
Number 24, women's volleyball, taking on number 20, Utah. Both ranked in the top 25. Tomorrow night, 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
A wild rally from BYU women's soccer last night at Southfield. And as Jeremy was just talking about, rivalry on the table for BYU this weekend. That and more in headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Lavelle Edwards Stadium, live on a Friday. On a game day, I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Let's get to today's headlines.
Number 13, BYU football hosts Oklahoma State tonight in Lavelle Edwards Stadium. The Cougars look to improve to 7-0 for just the fifth time in Cougar football history. BYU 9.5-point favorites. Yesterday, it was reported that Ashton Slaughter of the Ocali, that Garrett Rangel is expected to make his first start tonight. We do not have official word on that. We'll see when they come out and warm up and ultimately play. Game kicked at 10:15 on ESPN and BYU Radio. Pre-game coverage on BYU TV and BYU Radio at 8 Eastern.
BYU head coach Kalani Sitake named to the Bobby Dodd Trophy Coach of the Year watch list on the heels of leading BYU to this 6-0 start. Second time this has happened in his tenure at BYU, and BYU defenseman Tyler Batty named to the final Lombardi Trophy watch list. He is top three on BYU's team in tackles, sacks, quarterback hurries, and interceptions.
Not bad.
This season.
Whenever you hear Bobby, I just think King of the Hill. What the heck, Bobby? Cougars in the NFL. Jamal Williams, 3 carries, 17 yards for the Saints, and a big loss to the Broncos last night. That wasn't fun to watch.
Ugly game.
Fred Warner, the Niners, hosts Kingsley Suamati, Andy Reid's Chiefs in a Super Bowl rematch. Tyler Ogier and the Falcons play my Seahawks.
Chris Brooks and Zane Anderson for the Green Bay Packers take on the really good Houston Texans team. Brady Christensen and the Panthers, called by Anish Shroff,
yep,
take on Michael Davis and the Commanders. Blake Freeland and the Indianapolis Colts will host the Miami Dolphins. Ryan Rico and the Cincinnati Bengals travel to Cleveland to take on the Browns.
He leads the NFL in average punt yards.
Because he's the man.
Net average punt. Yeah, let's go. Women's soccer, how about this? Despite two delays last night, drew with Baylor 3-3 because they had a brace from Ellie Fryer. She scored both goals in the last 6 minutes to salvage a tie.
Jeremy, it's what they do.
To get an at-large bid, by the way, you have to be 500 or better in league. That was big for BYU. They're 4-2-3 in the Big 12 now.
Let's go. Number 24 BYU women's volleyball hosting number 20 Utah tomorrow night in what is going to be a raucous Smithfield House.
Oh, yeah, baby.
First-ranked matchup between these two squads since 2021.
Utah's on fire right now. They jumped into the polls.
Well, it's time to extinguish the flame.
Yes, it is. Number two, women's cross country competed this morning in pre-nationals. The Invitational in Wisconsin. This, of course, is the course where the national championship race will be held. We'll give you the results as soon as we know them. Top five ranked teams in the country all competed in the event.
And good luck to BYU men's and women's swim and dive, who are competing at Texas A&M this weekend.
Daniel Schneeman got the start in right field for the Guardians last night in the 7-5 extra inning walk-off game. Holy cow, what a classic playoff game.
Big Christmas delivers again!
In game three. needed that win. Like Cleveland needed. They were down 2-0. They were going to go down 2-1, right? They needed that. Game four coming up.
John Kenzie Noel with the game-tying home run. That was wild.
In Spanish, they were, Feliz Navidad!
Big Christmas delivers under the tree again.
So many puns.
And good luck to Patrick Fishburne and Zach Blair on the PGA Tour, who are competing at the Shriners Children's Open in Las Vegas this weekend. Fishburne currently tied for 46 at 3-under. Blair tied for 62nd at 2-under par, both in position to make the cut. That's always a good thing. That means you get paid.
Join us every day for BYU Sports Nation, but especially next Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll be live from Kansas City, Missouri. Not the Kansas side, the Missouri side. October 22nd, 23rd at Big 12 Basketball Media Days. Cannot wait for that.
After the break, he's a national champion college football player and one of the best wide receivers in BYU history. But is he a champion at picking winners in our Big 12 Pick'em segment? Glenn Kozlowski joins us on BYUSN after this. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live from Lavelle Edwards Stadium on a chilly, damp morning, but we couldn't be more warm and happy.
I want my baby back.
Chili's. Yes.
Still good. That and weather. Still good. It is cold, dude. Woo.
It's getting more chilly.
Burr.
The longer we sit here. Yeah. Not surprising, but BYU, and they're hoping that the crowd shows out tonight. By the way, I still expect this to be a packed house. I think there's enough juice.
I hope so.
That most fans will show up because of what BYU has done.
I'm expecting like 58, I'll be honest.
58,000?
Yeah.
And that's like, oh, man, what a disappointment. No, that'd be a huge number.
It's more than many stadiums in the Big 12, okay? This is the number one. BYU has the largest capacity in football and basketball arenas.
Yes.
And stadiums in the Big 12. I hope it's 64 and rocking. I really do. I just think when it's cold and wet and Friday night, it just lends itself to probably like a 58. But I hope it's a 64.
Show up, man.
64.
Show up. Okay, our question of the day. Do you feel more confident or concerned with what we expect to be a big crowd on hand for tonight's game against Oklahoma State? Brent in Seabad on X says, I'm guessing he's from Carlsbad, California. Concerned. Oklahoma State has lots of talent and good coaching. They certainly do, which is why this has been a mystery. Under Gundy, they always win 7-plus games. Veteran O-line and last year's Doak Walker Award winner. They shocked Kansas State last year out of the bye week. This is a great point brought up.
BYU's not good enough to just show up and win. They've absolutely got to assume that they're playing Georgia tonight in the form of Oklahoma State.
Just ultimate preparation.
Yes.
Ready to rock.
Expect.
Big 12 championship game, Oklahoma State.
The best version of Oklahoma State is going to show up. You got to expect that. Yeah.
All right. It's time for our Big 12 Pick'em segment as we continue live from LES. Let's look back at how our guest pickers have fared so far this year in Big 12 Pick'em play. Ashley Hatch still at the top.
Takes the top spot.
Listen,
pretty good.
She only got five opportunities, but she made the most of it.
80%. That's awesome.
Four and one last week for Ashley Hatch.
I informed Kenneth Rooks on Wednesday that he's now in second. He was disappointed.
All right, it's time to welcome in our next celebrity guest picker. He is BYU national champion, wide receiver for the Chicago Bears and in the NFL as well, Glenn Kozlowski.
Glenn,
Glenn, great to have you with us on BYU Sports Nation. How are you?
I'm outstanding, guys. Good to talk with you.
Hey, if you did your finger guns thing like you did at BYU now in the NFL, you'd be fined. Do you realize that? It was a good time
I'd get arrested, honestly. Let's be honest. I mean, in college especially, I mean, I'd pistol whip the entire sideline on Michigan. Right? I went all the way up to Bo, and I just shot more at him, and then I turned around and ran over, you know, and it was – he went nuts the whole night. I mean, Bo Schembechler wanted to kill me. And Jim Harbaugh, who's one of my dear friends, we played in the NFL together. He said, you know what, Kaz? Everybody on the team wanted to take you out. I just started laughing and say, of course, that was my job, to get you out of sync, and then we could win.
A job well done, my friend. Okay, we're going to go rapid fire. We're going to go rapid fire here.
Okay, let's do it.
On these Big 12 picks. First game discussed today, 5-1 Arizona State on the road at Cincinnati. Good matchup. The Sun Devils are down their starting quarterback, so who wins this game in Cincy?
Cincinnati.
Arizona State, no Sam Levitt, brother of Dan Levitt, who played at BYU and Utah State. Jeff Sims gets a start. Brendan Sorsby, though, has been pretty good with Cincinnati. He's throwing the ball around. I like the Bearcats in this one at home.
Never doubt Cam Scataboo. Cam Scataboo, Arizona State running back. He's going to figure out a way to do this thing with a backup quarterback in play. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be low scoring for Arizona State. Game number two, Glenn. Two teams who have really struggled this year. Houston, kind of expected. But Kansas has been a head-scratcher. They were supposed to be really good. Who gets right this week? Is it Houston or Kansas?
It's Kansas.
No ruby slipper for
Do you
Kansas.
Want me to give more to it? I'm just telling you, Kansas is going to win.
No, you're matter-of-fact. There's nothing wrong. Matter-of-fact response. Yeah. I like it.
No, if you want to just pistol whip through these, that's fine. I have Kansas as well, both coming off byes. Houston shut out two games in a row, then beat TCU. That was crazy. But Kansas finally gets the win because Jalen Daniels has only thrown one pick the last three games.
Yes.
He had six in the first three.
I'm going with Kansas as well. At some point, this craziness is going to end, and it won't be a close game for them to have to sweat out. They're going to win this, I think, going away for sure. Okay, game number three. It's Coach Prime in Colorado, Glenn on the road at Arizona against the Wildcats team that BYU just beat up on. Both teams off losses last week, so who gets back on the winning trend this week? Is it Coach Prime or is it Arizona?
Well, I don't like Coach Prime, and I'll tell you why, because quite frankly, he's the best ever in the NFL at his position. So I'm going to go with Arizona.
I'm going with Colorado. I think Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, by the way, expected to play in this one despite the shoulder injury last week. I think they go to Arizona and they upset Arizona.
You want to make a switch, Glenn?
No, I'm not making it. I said I gave the sound like you're wrong. Wrong again. So there you go. No, I'm telling you, I mean, listen. Prime Time is a great, you know, he was a great player and really a really good coach. He's turned things around there, but I just don't see them. They don't have enough talent.
Every time I think that Colorado's going to do something, they do the opposite. So this week I'm like, Colorado's going to win, which means they're going to lose. So I'm going against my intuition. I think I'm with Glenn. I'm going with Arizona.
Okay.
Next game, old Mountain West Conference rivals meet for the first time in the Big 12. It's TCU at Utah. Isaac Wilson, backup quarterback, is in for the remainder of the season for the Utes. Who wins? Is it struggling TCU or Utah?
I'm going with Utah again. I like that kid. Yeah, I wish he was at BYU, you know, being ready to go later, but he's a good player. Wilson is a good player, and I think they'll get it together. And I love my guy. You know, I can't go against Kyle Whittingham because, quite frankly, he's my friend. So I got to go with it.
TCU isn't good. They play from behind, but they throw for a lot of yards, 342 a game. But they're 104 in scoring defense. Give me the Utes.
TCU gave up 66 to SMU. I know SMU's offense is good, but 66.
Jeez.
Everyone's beating TCU right now. Utah's going to beat them as well. Okay, let's keep it rolling. Next game, UCF, another team that's struggled. We thought they were going to be really good early in the season, had an amazing rushing attack. They have fallen off the map. They're at number 9, Iowa State. Glenn, are you going to call a massive upset, UCF at Iowa State, or are you going with the Cyclones?
Zero chance. I'm a Midwest guy now at this point because I grew up in Chicago. I mean, I spent 38 years there. So Iowa State, running away.
Yeah, Iowa State is too good defensively. Give me the Clones and Ames.
Yes, they remain unbeaten. Iowa State's going to win this game big. Okay, next game, Baylor taking on Texas Tech. This is a tough road game for the Bears. Glenn, who you got?
I got Texas Tech. I mean, Baylor is good. I love their coach, but honestly, you just don't have the talent.
Taj Brooks is too good. Third in FBS, 135 rushing yards a game. They've captured something here in the first couple of games. I don't know that Texas Tech is a Big 12 contender, truly, but I think they'll get to 4-0.
Every week I pick one big upset. This is the week.
Nice.
For Baylor. It's Baylor's week to upset Texas Tech and hand them their first Big 12 loss.
You had a lot of Dr. Pepper this week. Is that what you're saying?
Indeed, I did.
Nice.
Shout out to Waco,
Mountain
Texas.
Mountain Dew, too?
You know me too well,
Glenn. Mountain Dew is jacked up, too, so I get it. I got you.
Well, hyped up on Mountain Dew.
17th-ranked Kansas State looking for their second straight road win, this time at West Virginia, as the Mountaineers look to bounce back at home. Who are you taking there, Glenn?
I'm going to take, I think I'm going to go with West Virginia at home.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice. I like it, but
three,
not
three
so fast, my
friend. 3.5-point underdog, so not a, like, only an underdog by 3, Jerome.
Mountaineers can be tough at home, but I like Kansas State's run game too much. 241 a game, 8th in the country. Give me Avery Johnson and the boys.
I'm picking more with my heart on this one. I want Kansas State to continue to win to help BYU's resume. Kansas State, they do it. They do it for BYU.
Although, if they get a second loss in league, that actually
that also helps BYU,
BYU
as well.
More? Question mark?
Exactly. That's why I was going that way, guys. It's okay. A win-win for us. And honestly, BYU, it's setting up. I'm telling you, these guys, there's something different about this team this year. Let's go on.
Perfect segue to number 13 BYU hosting Oklahoma State. Glenn at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. I know you're taking BYU, but what type of score and game do you expect?
You know what? I think BYU, although, you know, Oklahoma State has a lot of talent and they haven't played well, BYU is going to beat them by at least 10 points.
Okay.
The cover. BYU's defense, too much for Rangel if he ends up being the starter. Ollie Gordon II continues to struggle in the run game. I like the matchup of BYU's top-ranked defense, pass efficiency in the country against Dejon Stribling, Brennan Presley, and Rashad Owens. Give me the Cougs, of course, and I think they cover as well, like Glenn said.
Listen, I believe in Mike Gundy off a bye week and just in general in the back half of the season. The dude's an amazing coach. There's so much talent they have. This will be a close game early, but eventually BYU wears down Oklahoma State's run defense and start to create some separation in the third and fourth quarters. And I'm with Glenn. I think BYU is going to be in a comfortable position by the end of this game. Oklahoma State's good, though. Glenn, that was so fun. The 1984 National Championship team is being honored tonight. How do you feel about honoring or being honored, I should say, with your brothers at this game?
Well, I love my brother, for sure. And I love what we're doing at BYU. And you know what? I will always support BYU and you guys and what you're doing. And quite frankly, you know what? The Cougs are the best, and we'll keep pushing forward.
You got it. Glenn, thanks for hanging out with
us,
man.
Did I make any sense on that one?
Absolutely. You did. Yeah, we're piecing it.
You know, I mean, it's coming from my heart always.
Yes.
I just love the Cougs. And since I've been back here in Utah, I love watching you guys, love what you do. And thank you for having me on.
I appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, Glenn.
Be well. We'll see you tonight.
You got it.
Okay, let's put a bow on today's show from Lavelle Edwards Stadium. More responses to our question of the day. Are you more confident? More concerned about tonight's game. This is BYUSN. Oklahoma State up, but bye week's tough.
Nah.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day from Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Do you feel more confident or concerned about tonight's game against Oklahoma State? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, coming from Coy.Chandler on Instagram, who says, confident, got home field. The boys have been rolling. We're going to keep it going.
Got to show up and play very well tonight.
Today's Rise and Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Always awesome to celebrate amazing things, and this happens to be an anniversary for the 1984 National Championship team of 40 years. They will be honored tonight. Can't wait to see those guys.
Let's go. Our thanks to today's guests, Anish Shroff of ESPN and Glenn Kozlowski.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to Leon White. We'll see you tonight for BYU Sports Station Game Day at 8 Eastern.
Yeah!
Go Cougs!
Come on, baby!